Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Gatoon. Joining me is, of course, Beth Bond. What's going on?
Hi, yeah. How are you doing, Scott?
Pretty good. Have you been keeping your eyes on the news today?
You know, I try to keep my eyes on the news. Which one are we going to talk about, Scott?
Well, let's start local. Let's start with Chicago Inno has their Tech March Madness. Do you follow this?
I'm like just picking up the link now.
Have you actually like ever followed March Madness stuff for it's not basketball. I mean, it follows the bracketology,
Built-in did a March Madness bracket last year.
I think Chicago Inno does the one that like their Tech Madness. So, like they pick 60 companies and then I was desperately hoping you were going to be explaining this to me because I've participated 2 years in a row and by participate, I shared the link. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand how, like, I guess you just get voted to the top and they pick the best one. But, like, wouldn't you just look at the top, like, the top startup company in Chicago that's tech enabled and just like make them the winner from day, like what's the,
yeah, but how do you judge the criteria? That's what we should look at, is their criteria for the bracket advancement.
Well, that's the thing, and I was hoping that you had all these answers.
Damn it. Well, I've been following Tekagachi, Scott. You're on there.
I know. There's a lot of people. We won't get into all the people on Tekagachi, but there's a lot of people on Tekagachi.
I've had three players that I've played for a little bit. It's been a lot of fun.
Are you helping me raise money at all?
Dima.
You're on Dima's team. I understand. I'm the only one on Team Scott right now. Well, that's actually a good segue because it's another funny story of Chicago 8-Bit Studios, who was actually a sponsor of mine before Technori. And they had, I think they're also kicking off their Bagel Meets Bite podcast again, which was actually a really cool podcast they did several years ago. So they create this Tekagachi, and I actually have no idea what the point of it is, but I don't. But I will say, I was telling the guys this on the way here. What a brilliant marketing move. Mm-hmm. You circled like the top 25 influencers in tech in Chicago, put them in a video game, and then put out like a $1,200 press release.
Leverage all their networks.
And all of a sudden, you've got 50,000 people circulating 8-Bit Studios creation. Mm-hmm. And you put me in a video game, so I'm already...
And it's like, so cute.
Yeah, well, you don't pick me, you pick
Keep
Dima.
Keep your entrepreneur alive by feeding them coffee and business cards. I love it.
And the questions, although I've gone through all the questions already, so now I feel like...
Yeah, we know the answers now.
Did you get any wrong?
Do you know, I think I did get one wrong, and it was like a company culture thing, and I'm all about doing like zany things around the office, but apparently the one that I chose that was okay was like, no, don't do that in your office.
I got one wrong about feedback. There was a question about like customer feedback, and me being such an empathetic person was like,
change your product based on customer
feedback. It was kind of innocuous, but like the question was simply like something to the effect of like, if all of your customers don't like this, would you pull it and redo whatever? And I was like, hell no.
Right.
Because like I would ask him and make changes. We'll talk about this with our guest because he's the perfect person to talk about this with. I honestly feel like sometimes you know, like your customer knows more than you. They are the ones that ultimately choose whether it works. Mm-hmm. But they don't know everything. They don't know all the technical things that go into it. So in my mind, I was like,
roadmap.
Yeah. You don't know how it's going. So I'm like, would I pull it down? Hell no. Mm-hmm. Like, go find another product to buy, bro. Like, that's how I would look
at it. You know, I really love Amanda Lanner. She talks about
awesome.
When she gets customer feedback. She says she has, like, a magic phrase. And she's like, you know what? That's in our 2-year roadmap. So, like, she's saying yes and.
So that's kind of like the yes and you learn in school when they're talking about making a pitch to, like, a business person. And they ask you a question. You're like, no, sir, I don't have that with me now, but I'll get back to you Monday at 1 p.m.
Right.
Which you never do. Because by then I've had too many cocktails and I don't remember what's going on. The other thing that is interesting, and it's a good segue to our later conversation, a later part of the podcast, is I don't know if you saw this, Daimler bought up the remaining 25% at like a $350 million valuation of Car2Go, which is really interesting. We've been talking about this internally a lot. The impact that Chicago has as sort of a hub for international business, and Daimler being a German company, we're going to be speaking with one of our next shows. We're going to be speaking with folks from Bogota, but more importantly, people from different countries, particularly Latin American countries, on the different technology. And one such company is EasyPark. Mm-hmm. And as you all know, as we circle this back to cars in Chicago, ParkWiz and Spot Hero are pretty much the biggest names in the sort of parking car industry.
Right.
And I just think that there's a lot of opportunities internationally that we have a chance to capitalize on because, let's be serious, there's like 8 cities in the whole country that actually need, like, have a parking crisis.
No, there's, what is it? It's by year 2050, it's projected that 85% of the world's population will live in a city of 10 million or more. So the kind of groundwork that needs to be laid now in order to equip, you know, huge metropolitan areas to transport people is huge. I mean, our, you know, guest will be able to talk a lot about how they're getting people around.
Yeah. No, I think it's key. But I would counter it with, though, how many of those people are going to be driving their own car with the access of community drivers and rental car rentals and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's evolving every day.
It's a very, very evolving conversation.
Wait a minute, wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though.
To play it
I hope
though,
you right. got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he talking Scott Catoon.
Well, without any further ado, I would like to make sure that we invite and welcome our guest, Dave. I'm going to mispronounce your name, so I'm just going to have you say it.
Bajur.
One more time, Dave. How do you pronounce your name?
Bajur.
Bajur, that's a great name.
Thanks.
Wow, that's a very great name. I'm like taken aback. I'm like, Bajur. It's like, Dijur.
It was
great.
French at some point, but it's been Americanized to the point where you and I can say it.
Soup Bajur. Dave Bajur, the Senior Vice President and Global Accounts Manager for GoGo. I have to say, this segment is brought to you by Chicago Innovation Awards. We are partners with Chicago Innovation Awards. Chicago Innovation Awards celebrates the best local innovators every year. Chicago Innovation Award winners have gone on to receive $77 billion, with a B, billion, in exit value, which is crazy. And GoGo happens to be one of those not one of those exits, but one of those such companies.
Yeah.
Soon to be exits, maybe. We'll see.
Perhaps.
So tell us a little bit about GoGo Air. We know them well. The audience that has gone to Technori showcases, some of which should know GoGo. John Wade spoke at one of our previous, October 2017. He was a keynote. He's been on the show, as is your CTO. But we want to check in with you because this is, as we learned on stage with Dave, John. What we learned on stage with John was that there is so much innovation going on, not just in air, in Wi-Fi in the air, but also just in how we use Wi-Fi and how we use MiFi. So I figured I'd have you kind of give a quick rundown on what exactly GoGo Air does, and then let's talk a little bit more about kind of your role with it and what you see in the future, what people can look forward to.
GoGo is the in-flight internet company. So what we do is we put people online while they're in planes. And this started about 10 years ago. I was about the 40th employee at this company.
Nice.
And today
so
we're
definitely rooting for exit.
Yeah. Oh, big time. So it's been a really wild ride. You know, the company, like I said, it's 1,200 people today. It's still sort of a startup, despite being huge. It hasn't actually changed in terms of the feel. So we've been able to maintain that culture along the way. And we're very committed to just doing that, putting people online while they're on a plane. And people's expectations of what that means has changed with time. When we started this, the iPhone didn't exist. The iPad didn't exist. And with time, as the internet has changed, with the growth of the two devices I just mentioned, but also the proliferation of streaming video, what you expect the internet to do on a plane has changed a lot. And today, people want at least an at-home or at-work experience on the plane. It's really hard to deliver that. The biggest issue in that has been commercial. It's not technology. The technology is there. The issue has been how quickly and at which pace should an airline upgrade the airplane?
Yeah.
Typically, airplanes have about 25-year life. And they expect to get maybe two or three sets of seats on the airplane in that time frame. When Wi-Fi came out, they did not expect to be upgrading it as fast as is truly required.
Yeah.
And I go to meetings with airlines all the time, and you know, everybody's sitting there with like a brand new iPhone or an awesome new Samsung device that they've had clearly for less than 12 months. Mm. And they're sitting there wondering, why do they have to upgrade the internet on the plane? And you look at the phone, it's like, well, how long have you had the phone? The guy says, I've had it for 12 months. So clearly,
I'm about ready to upgrade because it's old.
Yeah. Right. The technology gets old on your phone the same way it does on the plane. And so that continuous evolution of technology and the need to upgrade is something that didn't strike the airline executive as something that needed to occur. But indeed, it does.
Oh, for sure. And so before we get into even that, and there's a lot more, I mean, that's a simple and easy way to put it with regard to the customer use case in the technology that you guys build, which I won't make you go through all of the nitty gritty of the technology. We talked a lot at the showcase about latency.
Yeah.
And so we can get very deep and grainy into this if we want to. But what I think we'll get into with you on this also is that there are a lot of IoT issues. There's a lot of stuff that this actually plays a role in with regard to coordinating where the planes are going to be, where they're going to land, the timings, and all kinds of things that, you know, people would say, it's a lot of money for Delta or United to invest in offering a great customer experience. But that's only just like one small part of why they're investing in the technology. It's because they can use it for their entire fleet. There's so much stuff. We'll get into that. From the customer experience side, I've got you right in front of me, so I'm going to take the chance to talk more about my own personal experience and ask some questions, because like when John was on our stage, he offered us and everyone who came to Technori, we got GoGo passes to use for free flights, and I've got a box full of them. And since then, I've flown United, I've flown American, I've flown Southwest, I've flown a few different places, and I have had a hard time using the actual pass because the airline may use GoGo, but they use American Airlines or United Airlines interface. Like I have to sign it with my United Mileage Plus thing, and now all of a sudden there's no place for me to put in GoGo's pass. How does the integration work? Or how is, I shouldn't say that. How is the integration supposed to work?
It's clear it didn't work, did it? Is it?
It did not in this case. But like, yeah. but I knew that going into it. Like when I walked in, I was like, I actually said that to him on stage. I was like, This is an incredibly generous gesture. That said, I know airlines are itching for every penny they can. And so if they can get me to sign in through United Plus and then take my $29, they're going to.
Yeah. I mean, the way this started was airlines in 2008 were reticent to put the technology on the airplane. So GoGo had to kind of do everything. We had to put the technology on the aircraft. We had to put maintenance technicians at all the airports to repair it. Right. We had to set the prices. We had to create promo codes the way that you just described.
The founder's journey for GoGo, if those who haven't looked it up, you can go to the website. Literally, this isn't a promo. I mean, obviously, you should go to GoGoAir.com, but is it GoGo.com?
No, you were right. GoGoAir.com.
Yeah, GoGoAir.com. Yeah. You should definitely go because we got you here, so you should go. But if you have a time to go and look at the about page, it's honestly, God, it's worth the read.
Yeah.
It's a really, really fascinating story of a founder here, like, how in the hell did you get into this?
Yeah, this is far out. So anyway, they realize at that point in time that it's a big risk for the airline. So GoGo takes on a lot of risk. With time, the airlines realize this is a huge passenger amenity. The passengers love this. So we gotta make it more about us. Why should GoGo get the credit for this great experience when the airline could be getting that credit instead? So I think that what we've seen with time is a transition from GoGo running the whole thing to airlines doing it. When that occurred, your promo code that you had in your hand suddenly became a little bit less valuable because it was harder to use it on an airline interface.
Yep.
So in many ways, this is all connected to the business model.
Sure.
The original business model, just to put it in context for all the listeners, is GoGo essentially pays for the equipment to go on the plane, and then it's a revenue share between the airline and the company. We give the airline about 20% of the money.
Yep.
Right? So if you pay $10 on a flight, $2 goes to the airline, but they don't have many expenses. They're just sitting there collecting.
They're great at bringing in the users that you don't want to have to pay to get.
They are the market, right? They're bringing the customer to us. It's now our job to price it appropriately and get people to use the internet, which I think we've been pretty good at. The take rate is the percentage of people on a plane that actually use it.
Yeah.
That is about 12%.
Yeah.
So okay. it's not a huge number.
It's not huge. I was going to say, I mean, honestly, just being totally candid, I thought the pricing was on par with like a day at a 24-hour stay at a hotel.
I'd say that's about right. The average session is about $12.
Yeah.
And the reality.
I should correct myself. If I follow the actual, like, how many hours you want to do, which I'm sure most people are actually intelligent with their money and think 20 minutes of takeoff, 20 minutes of landing, 45 minutes of airtime, I'm only going to pay for an hour, $12.
Yeah. And
I usually just do the $29, like, give me the whole thing. And
it depends where you're going. You know, if you're flying from here in Chicago to Detroit, how much do you need to be on Instagram right now? Maybe not so much. But if you're going from here to Los Angeles and you're going to make a presentation when you get to LA, maybe it's appropriate to pay us $29. And so we've set the pricing according to some of those markets, according to demand. But most importantly, Scott, I think what we've done is we've had to historically use price to tamp down demand. What a terrible strategy.
Yeah.
But the reality is, what would be worse, high prices or having so many people on the internet simultaneously that the whole thing comes to a grinding halt and it's unusable.
Which was a major issue, as you mentioned in the beginning of this, that all of a sudden you've got video and people are expecting to stream stuff. And so it's like, you can't do that. People hogging the internet.
Right. So what we did was, starting about 5 years ago, started investing in new technologies and went back to the airline and said, look, I get that you have a brand new iPhone on the table here. I need you to start bringing the airplane along and get ready to upgrade it as well. The trouble is that when you're upgrading airplanes, it's not like putting a new router in your home or office. Yeah. You need to go through a very laborious certification process with the FAA and any other regulatory authority in other countries to upgrade the airplanes. That has taken us a period of years today our latest and greatest technology, which allows streaming media and everything you could possibly want to do, is on about 600 jets.
Wow.
So we've got about 3,200 airplanes totally equipped, commercial jets. 600 of them have that new technology. And then we got a whole other business, which is business jets, of which there are about 6,000 that are equipped with our technology. So it's a constant evolution. And just as soon as we've finished upgrading all the fleet with this technology, I'm pretty sure we'll be ready to start all over again, which will drive the airline executive crazy. But the reality is that's what's happening with technology. And we can't predict exactly what's next from a consumer demand perspective, but we can certainly be ready with the next generation of technology.
And that's when you guys hit 2,000 employees.
Yeah, exactly right.
So to get in, you know, we've got the kind of the blue sky thing that we'll get into, which in a second here, on sort of the advancement of the technology and where things can go and how it pertains to the world as we live in it beyond being on the actual airplane, the things that we can do because of the airplanes with these antennas down on the ground. In other words, as a teaser, there are potentials to get rid of traditional Wi-Fi and actually have the planes driving around, flying around, that can actually let us use that as our signal.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept and one that we've explored. There are certain – we do business with the airline – fifth largest airline in the United States called Alaska. Alaska recently purchased Virgin America, so that's all one big airline now, about 250 mainline jets. Well, they fly to certain airports where there's not very good Wi-Fi or cellular service on the ground at that airport. And one concept we've had is when the airplane is at the gate, could we receive the internet signal from the satellite and then use the airplane rather than to serve the customer's Wi-Fi, because they're not on it, serve all the people around the airplane, so baggage handlers, fuelers, all these kinds of people. They could take their own device that they've got and connect it to the plane. And now the plane is serving internet to the ramp area. And if we got enough airplanes on the ramp at once, we've got this big mesh network that's creating internet connectivity on the ramp. The savings for the airline is that rather than purchasing every ramper and baggage handler and fuel guy a cellular plan, now you've got those phones all kind of those devices, let's say, all connected to the aircraft, which is providing the internet. So I think that the future for this thing, while focused in the past on passengers, is going to be more about the operation, the employees, the flight planning, the fuel usage, turbulence monitoring, those kinds of things. I think that's a big part of the future.
Oh, and I think it's something that can be absolutely built upon. I mean, that's the stuff that those who are not on our pay grade can see, like, in front of them. The future is ultimately, like, can you use that and is a signal strong enough to use it while they're in the air and actually be a way to ping off of? I mean, there's just so many different ways to go with it, which is exciting. To circle back a little bit on your actual – on the business model part of it, a couple of things that kind of came to mind for me, and it'd be interesting to see your take on this, is, you know, whether you like it or not, obviously you're testing this technology out and it's growing. And so it takes a little bit of time for you guys to kind of work out the kinks. But that said, the United and those wanted to use the name to get the brand, you know, quality. And so while things aren't working out perfectly, it actually falls on them, not on Gogo, which is kind of favorable.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. At the beginning, the airlines all wanted it to be called Gogo.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to put their logo on the portal, even in flight. And many airlines felt that it would be better if it were Gogo, so that if there were kinks, that was Gogo's issue. And with time, as it became more successful, the airlines wanted to take it over, which is very natural, made sense.
Sure.
And we've made that work for both parties very nicely. These days, it's not just enough to have Wi-Fi. You need to differentiate yourself in some way. It's either with a quality or, in some cases, and I think we'll see this in the future, airlines giving you service for free. Mm-hmm. So what we've seen already in the case of Delta, for instance, and Alaska, as I mentioned before, is they're giving you the ability to do text messaging for free.
Yep.
And so you can use iMessage or Facebook Messenger, those kinds of applications, to do that for free. And I think what you'll see is airline distribution is changing. And that's to say, you may have seen something called basic economy. These are fares that the airlines are now offering, which is super low end.
You there's travel no assigned, right there with the luggage.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, there is no
I'm actually in
seat.
The luggage.
Yeah, you are luggage.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, correct that. I'm not in luggage. I am luggage.
There is no assigned seat. There are no miles awarded. There's no pre-boarding. There's no check back. You get the picture.
Yeah.
It's a bare bones. And it's a great fare for somebody that just wants to buy air travel and nothing else. On that same airplane, they may have as many as let's say, 5 different fares that are available, ranging from that basic economy fare that we just talked about all the way to a nice first-class fare that's going to have early boarding, a meal, a check bag. You get the picture.
Different president.
Gogo can work into that, right? So we might have free messaging for everybody, but perhaps people in first class are getting something for free, like full internet session for the duration of the flight. And in certain markets around the world, we're seeing that. In Australia, for instance, where we do business with Virgin Australia, they're going to give away free internet to everybody. Different airlines are pursuing different strategies in this regard. And I think that in the United States, we have a lot of different strategies. You think about Southwest, you will have seen the ads on TV, bags fly free, right? That's a strategy that United, Delta, American, they haven't pursued. Wi-Fi is the same way. JetBlue offers free Wi-Fi, but other airlines tend not to. It's not really part of their brand proposition. So that business model is really going in different directions and has more to do with what each airline's strategy is rather than what our strategy is. And that's good to see because that's their investment in the product, not just ours.
Well, it's funny. It has a lot to do with this and nothing at the same time. And that is that as another kind of conversation that I was going to bring up before we started this was Spotify announced its IPO. You'll see where I'm going with this in a second. The impact was they reported there's like 71 million subscribers. And in my mind, I was thinking, that's a lot. I wonder how many cable subscribers there are. And so there's 60 million cable subscribers, which if there's an average of 3 a household, you're at like 180 million people, right?
Yeah.
The more people, 100 million subscribers to Netflix, the more people who can access more or less the majority of content they would ever watch for $10.99 a month on Netflix and the other listening to Talking Heads and this show at $9.99 a month through Spotify or Apple Watch or Apple Music or whatever. Those people now have a rooted interest in wanting to stay connected to their content because it's on the go, right? It's not at home. So now when I'm traveling around, circle back to this conversation, when I'm traveling at home, all of a sudden the need, not even a want, it is a need for me to be able to stream my shows, whether it's listening or other, on every airline, in every car that we're on. All of a sudden, if you guys position your business model, whether it's, you know, whether you guys control this or your vendors and clients control it, to where every airline has to pay you the service fee that you charge them, and it is automatically included that they get to use the internet. But then there's a paywall to be able to stream audio, there's a paywall to stream video, there's a whatever.
Yeah.
And then you get another click off the top of that. That would stack up rapidly.
I think that'd be really cool. And it's certainly the customer's expectation to be able to access.
We're not there yet, maybe, but like I mean, I think we're talking like less than 2 years before there's a break point between number of people paying $50 a month for cable versus the number of people who pay $25 a month for all their stuff
for
remotely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the customers today are changing the way – it's not the customers. It used to be that airlines would select some content for you to watch.
Yep.
Either on the, remember the old screens
Hell
that they used
yeah.
to have at the front of
yeah.
the plane, but now we got a lot of seat back TV screens where the airline is picking, let's say, somewhere between 30 and 300 movies that are on that system. The chances of them nailing it and getting like 5 movies on there that you really want to see is actually pretty low.
Right. The last one I saw was Chicago. The last airplane I was on that had one of those screens was when they had, remember in Chicago,
that is not new.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That is not recent.
Yeah,
I
no.
would,
last
I would
one
know.
I saw was
no.
Wonder Woman. It was so great.
That's kind of
Richard
Gere
still looked
American,
dashing.
And it was free.
So the point here is that what if, rather than the airline spending their money on buying that content to show you, which you may or may not like, what if they spent that money with Gogo, of course, this is what I want, and they buy the data from us, and instead they let you choose what you want. Whether that your relationship is through Spotify or through Apple Music or your relationship is directly with Netflix, maybe that money is better spent in data rather than trying to select and trying to guess what the customers really want because you don't. The reality is if we get really clever about this, we could figure out that the vast majority of people do want to see perhaps 30% of the same content.
Yeah.
And we could load those shows on the airplane before the airplane
takes off.
So you
don't have to use up the data, you just keep the money.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. And so I think in the grand scheme of things, what we're trying to do and what we're trying to engineer for airplanes are a massive amount of local storage on that airplane, a highly efficient pipe to the internet so that we can get the content there in the first place, and then a distribution mechanism that gets it from our server on the plane to everybody's device on the plane.
Yeah.
That's not crazy. Like, I don't think we're actually that far away from that.
No.
And the benefit of this system is not just greater passenger choice, but it is much lighter weight on the airplane. It's less wiring. A seatback system on an airplane today has like 2 miles of wiring behind it.
Yeah.
That's very heavy. So if we can pull all that off, that's not just weight, but it's complexity. It's things that break and go
wrong.
That's
more Scott's writing in baggage claim.
That's more Scott's writing in baggage claim. You got it. We're all bringing iPhones and tablets on the plane today. Why not let the passenger use his or her own device to view that content rather than trying to build it into the seats?
Well, they prefer it anyway.
They prefer it. Of course they do, and they're very familiar with it, and they can do other stuff like watch or rather read their messages at the same time they are checking out some piece of video content.
No, I think it's brilliant. And then, again, as I circle into the whole business model, I think that there's people out there who would hear the story and they would look up Gogo Air and they'd go, how in the hell is a business this big, growing this quickly, with this many employees, existing on something as simple as, not simple, I don't mean that complexity-wise, but simple in that your sole purpose, as far as the audience knows, is to provide us with the ability to watch our content on an airplane. And the truth of the matter is, you brushed upon it before with the advancements and using it to enable those working around the airplane to communicate cheaper, faster, easier, about reducing the weight of the airplane so you can have more people on it, not have to replace the seats more often, technology, yada, yada. There are so many different things that your technology, and if you can speak to some of this stuff, great. If not, you know, IP, we understand lawyers are everywhere. But the ability for you to serve your clients, you know, you're serving United by serving their clients, but you're also, United is also a client of yours because you provide a service that enables them to lean out different processes, become more efficient in different things that they do. How do you do that?
Increasingly, I it's not that I don't think about the end using customer on the aircraft.
Yeah, of course.
The Scots and
you're
baggage.
Not like me. I'm the unempathetic
I
one.
Think about the airline, and I'm trying to put airlines in a position to give their customer experience that they want to give to their customers. It's not really my business to know the flying public. It's my business to know the airlines and their business to know the flying public. So we have a little bit of a balance between those two things. But I'll give you a great example. At Delta, we've got a product in market today that allows pilots to have a better view of turbulence. So stick with me for a sec. Yep. You're going to like this one. Every airplane, you guys have all been on airplanes where you feel it bouncing. You're like, ooh, there's some turbulence. Yeah. Okay. The airplane has enough sensors to sense that itself. Imagine all the airplanes picking up that data and sending it to the ground where it gets crowdsourced and turned into a finished product and then rebroadcast back to the airplanes so that all of the pilots know where the turbulence is. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now it's displayed on their tablet. So rather than waiting for the airplane to start shaking like crazy before they turn on the seatbelt sign, they get it on before that turbulence occurs, and they get it off as soon as they know the turbulence is going to end. All right, the benefit of this is that you can get out of your seat more frequently and use the lav. Okay, that's good because part of being comfortable on an airplane is not having to pee constantly.
Yes.
So that's it seems like it's minor, but you're increasing passenger satisfaction and you're reducing flight attendant injuries, which is a major issue in the United, well, in every market. But you read stories every year. It's like, oh, this poor flight attendant got hurt their head or something because he or she got banged into the ceiling. That happens regularly. The airlines are on a mission to decrease injuries
The amount of insurance they have on just for that kind of stuff is insane.
Right. So the turbulence product is a byproduct of internet on a plane for passenger use. And I think that if an airline can run a better operation, that's great. If during that turbulence something gets knocked loose and it sets off a fault, like an oil line or something came off, if that sensor can sense that is loose, it can send the message to the ground and alert maintenance before the airplane lands. Hey,
so
when this airplane gets here,
now,
these are the parts we need. These are the kind of people we're going to need to repair the aircraft. Let's get ready to go. So that level of sensoring is on the airplane, but currently there's no pipe. And if you think about, speaking of pipes, if you think about flight attendants today, they're totally disconnected from their company. They are the front line and the passenger, yet they're not actually in communication. So if your next flight has been delayed, they don't actually know that on board today. Well, we're changing that. Every Delta flight attendant has what's called a SkyPro device. There's some, 50,000 of these devices that are connected to the Gogo network and give the flight attendants information about where you are going, not just where Beth's going or where everybody on this plane is going, but where you, Scott, specifically are going. Say, oh, hey, Scott, we know that you're actually going to O'Hare. That connection flight you're going to miss, but they've already accommodated you on the next one. That could decrease your stress level. So right in that example, right, we have the turbulence thing, we have the airplane getting fixed before it goes out of service and misses the next flight, and we've got giving you passenger amenity on board, creating a better experience so you know my next flight is delayed, I'm not going to try to rush.
I could absolutely see the next Super Bowl ad for United or Alaska Airlines for this case saying we offer turbulence-free flights.
I mean, wouldn't that be cool? I don't
be
think
amazing.
we're that far away from it. I mean, the technology is starting to grow to the point where that's a possibility.
What's interesting is that in 2018, from a consumer perspective, this stuff should already be here, right? And the perception probably is that some of it already is, and there's just not a lot of transparency around it. So it's interesting to learn that, you know, the infrastructure is still being laid, where we think a lot of these connected devices are already, you know, being used by airlines. Like aviation, you think is this, oh, they have access to everything and capital in order to implement everything, but it's just
if
so
you can believe it,
reality.
You know, you think about how common GPS is in our lives today. We use it for everything. There's still a lot of aviation that doesn't rely on it. They historically flew from radio beacon to radio beacon across this country. And the reason those radio beacons are where they are is because that's where we originally built the bonfires that the old barnstormers would use to go from fire to fire.
Yeah.
So, the modern aviation system is not terribly different from the aviation system of the 1920s. So while there has been a lot of growth, adoption is very slow. Mm-hmm. And as a pilot myself, I was trained on techniques that haven't really been used widely since the 50s.
I was just going to say, that's why you see a lot of bonanza wingtips sticking around a farmyard somewhere.
Yeah, that's
they didn't quite hit the bonfire.
Right, they were going for the bonfire. So the reality is that adoption is very slow. That's one of the major challenges in our business is how do you get the airlines to go quickly? That has a lot more to do with the commercials than it does with the technology.
You've definitely made it a compelling reason for people to check out and stay attuned to what's going on with Gogo Air. I think what is most interesting to me in the Gogo, why I stick with it, why we have people from you guys' company on the show all the time, other than like my dad was a pilot, so I've grown up with the whole thing. So I'm fascinated naturally. But in reality, and you mentioned this with the radio beacon, airlines, aviation is the originator of IoT. It is the originator of the need for a machine to leave one machine and another machine and still have communication going on. But for whatever reason, technology, money, whatever, it got discombobulated. And now there's an opportunity to sort of bring it full circle again, which is really exciting. So I recommend people stay caught up with you guys. Where do people go to follow and keep up with you? I know that you guys post a lot of stuff on Twitter as well. So
yes, we are big on Twitter and on Facebook, actually. I think increasingly you're going to follow the airlines because they're going to be the ones that are making a lot of noise about this. Mm-hmm. We're about to get going with Alaska and Virgin America, which is our next airline launch, which I'm really excited about. Cool. And so I think there'll be good news coming from those airlines in the near future and around the world that's going on too. So for all your listeners overseas, we might have a product for them too.
Awesome. Very cool. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Scott.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Follow me at Katoon or follow Beth Bond at
Beth Bond.
At Beth Bond. Boom. That's a wrap.